Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast, joining you here in the last days of June, as we are trying our best to find some baseball in our lives. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is a guy we haven't heard from in a while, Todd Rosiak, Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Todd, how are the Cats doing? That's what's important here in this this epidemic where you're around the house all the more. How are those Cats hanging in there?
Cats are very happy. I'm going to be harnessing up Ernie in a little while here, so when I'm done with you, and take him out for a little jaunt around the property. I would like to say that, you know, in addition to being the one of the Brewers beat writers, I am also a police reporter now, a Corona blog expert. Let's see what else, the weather reporter. So, you know, wearing a lot of hats these days, like all of us are.
Yeah, I think everybody in the sports department has dipped their toes or their full feet into the news pool at this point. Everybody kind of pitching in where they can. But there is some baseball news. And I guess the big question everyone has is it bad news? Does it mean that there won't be additional baseball news? Because as we know, this past week, the ownership team, or the owners of Milwaukee, of Major League Baseball, and the players union do not seem to be seeing eye to eye on compensation packages for if and when baseball restarts. Everybody, I think, still has their breath held for a early start in July, and maybe even by mid-June we could be talking about spring training or whatever we're going to call the ramp up to the start of games. But now there's sort of a labor dispute. I don't know if it's quite that. I don't know if that's what we're calling it. You've been following it pretty closely this past week. I'm feeling pretty pessimistic about it. How do you feel about it? Is this just some first shots being fired across the bow, or do you really sense, man, this may actually fundamentally bite into whether or not we have baseball this year, this labor issue?
Did it. Breaking news. Owners and players don't agree.
Film yes, at 11. That's true.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think this is just turning out like pretty much any other high stakes negotiation, or starting out like any other high stakes negotiation. Each place, you know, each party starts high, and you start working toward a middle ground, and you know, you shoot for the moon, and you eventually meet in the middle and hopefully get something done. And that's pretty much what's happening here. I think there's always going to be animosity. There's always going to be enmity, but I think both parties realize what's at stake here. And, you know, kind of the bigger picture for millionaires and billionaires to be haggling over money at a time when so many people are out of work and so many people are dying. It's just not a good look. It's not good optics. So I think eventually here over the next week, probably cooler heads will prevail. They'll come to some sort of agreement and get it together and get it done. You know, that does not preclude, a lot of animosity taking place in the next collective bargaining agreement discussions, which are rapidly approaching as well. And I think that's where we could really see some interesting things happen, and maybe some bad things, maybe a real work stoppage at that point, because you know, the players feel like they need to get their pound of flesh after the way the last CBA turned out, and especially if they feel like they're really you know, taking the short end of the stick in whatever it takes to get the game going right now. So I think it gets done, but I also think it's going to leave some bitter tastes in the players' mouths moving forward. And that could have bad effects on what happens for baseball in years to come.
Yeah. We've all sort of been anticipating the 2021 possible strike, possible play, work stoppage of some kind, the way that the two sides seemed pretty much at odds with what was going, you know, where we're headed in those negotiations. Just to give it a sense, I'm sure most people are aware of this, but kind of the core issue here is that players were under the belief they would be paid for half their salaries by playing half the games. Most scenarios will tell you that baseball is looking to have an 82-game season. And then the owners came back and said that that was going to be too difficult, given that there will be no fans at these games, that they would take a significant hit at the gate. And then the plan was sort of hatched to maybe try revenue sharing to sort of give, you know, not pay them their full compensation, prorated compensation, but give them a piece of the sort of the gains made from TV contracts or whatever. Then a plan was hatched to maybe sort of have a different scale for players who make a ton. Basically, the players who make the most would be taking the biggest hit percentage-wise. That really seemed to rile people up. Max Scherzer posting sort of seemingly on behalf of the players saying that, yeah, that's not acceptable. We're not even going to discuss having our salaries bid into again. That's off the table. What sort of maneuvers, as you look at this, like what's the next move for the owners to make if they're really being financially burdened by what's happening and how the rest of the season is going to play out? What's the next offer? I mean, do they just bite the bullet completely? Like, where do you think the next step is before we get to sort of a compromise?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the million or the billion dollar question. You can say, you know, pun intended. It's basically who's going to blink first. And in years past, you know, in quote unquote normal years, but you know, these billionaire owners are all in good, relatively good shape because their businesses were, you know, still doing well. But now we're talking about, you know, layoffs, furloughs, cutting staff, cutting salaries. You know, the players aren't going to be getting near what they're owed. So, you know, I think both parties are going to have to give in some form or fashion. I think it was very interesting. If people haven't read the story that I wrote from earlier this week on Mark Attanasio's comments, I thought he did a really good job of kind of breaking down the economics of the game and, you know, what, you know, how it really all operates. You know, you're basically taking a $10 billion game, a $10 billion business, and boiling it down to about $3 billion. And, you know, these franchises, even though they're worth lots and lots of money, that's pretty much on paper. You know, they don't have a lot of room financially from day to day, week to week, month to month. You know, you're not making tons of profit. A lot of these teams are basically just breaking even. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of financial issues that need to be ironed out. But I just go back to what I said earlier. I think it's both parties think it's or realize it's there's too much at stake to not get something done here. And, you know, I think both sides will come together at the end. And like David Stearns always says, deadlines get deals done typically. So, you know, both sides know they've got about a week or maybe a little more, maybe a little less to figure it out. And I think ultimately they will.
How do you imagine this season is going to look? Obviously, we don't know yet in terms of schedule, like what the schedule's going to be, if we're going to be playing. I assume we're going to still be playing in different stadiums around the country. There isn't going to be any sort of centralizing of games or anything. But as you try to imagine what this looks like, what do you see? Is it just impossible to visualize because there's so many unknowns yet? Or do you think, do you have kind of a sense of what this might look like?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was talking with Tom about that recently, and it's just there's going to be so many fascinating parts to this if and when it gets done and when it starts up. And I think, you know, it's going to be different. I think people should embrace that, and it's going to be fun. Brian Anderson, you know, last month when I spoke to him for the story I wrote on him, he mentioned the same thing, that, you know, it's baseball is just going to be totally, totally different. And I think people should just take it for what it is and you know, enjoy it. I think we all are, just from the standpoint of having sports back, period. But, you know, records, those sorts of things are going to be out the window. You know, DH in the NL, be fun to watch. You know, the empty stadiums is going to be really weird. And Craig Council mentioned that the other day as well. Almost like they're going to be actors performing, you know, on a closed set, and players, you know, they generate so much of their adrenaline from playing in front of fans. Lorenzo Cain and Brandon Woodruff both talked about that earlier this during this break with the pandemic, when I spoke to them, and how weird it's going to be for them to not play in front of fans. So, it's just, it's really hard to visualize, but once the games begin and they're playing, I just think it's going to be fascinating to see how it all pans out and what happens. It's going to be a season with an asterisk next to it, no matter what happens. So I think the important thing is just obviously to get going and then embrace it for what it is and enjoy it. And that's not even, you know, that's just from a fan standpoint, from a media standpoint, you know, we have no idea what to expect. You know, I don't think that anybody's going to be traveling media wise. I think only home games are going to be covered. We don't know what kind of access we're going to get. We certainly probably won't be able to talk to players in person anymore. You know, we may be talking to everybody on Zoom calls now or on the phone. It's just going to be a completely different world for everybody. And, you know, we're just going to have to make the best of it and hope things are able to somewhat return back to normal in 2021.
Yeah, I find myself thinking about how the game is going to be covered as well, particularly from a TV standpoint with no fans. You know, there's discussion about crowd noise. There's discussion about, are players going to be mic'd up more often? I mean, typically players wouldn't be, you know, super fond of that idea, but heck, I don't know. I could see there being a greater camaraderie. It's like playing a softball game in a city league softball league. There's no fans. It's just you and, you know, your friends on the other team. You're sort of jawing back and forth. I could see it being just a very different on-field atmosphere. You know, obviously it will be because there's no crowd noise, but I could just see a lot of opportunities for things we haven't seen before. And ultimately, if we can finally get to the point where sports are being played, I ultimately think it will be fun. It'll be a very unique viewer experience and player experience too. You know, it's just got to get there, right? It's just got to get to the point where we actually have baseball.
Yeah. And I think I read something recently talking about how this will be an opportunity for, you know, some of that experimentation, like you mentioned, with more players being mic'd. And, you know, this may be an opportunity for more players to kind of show their personality and get their personalities out there, because it's hard to do that in a normal setting for baseball. And, you know, it'll be an opportunity to try different things and you know, access hopefully will be maybe not for us so much, the print journalists, but, you know, maybe for broadcasts will be a little bit better, a little bit more open. I don't know. But, you know, going back to just thinking about how this is all going to play out, I mean, you won't even be able to fit all the players in the dugout. You're going to have guys sitting in the stands. You know, Craig Council is going to have an assigned seat. It's just, everything is just going to be so weird once it actually does get going. But I think we'll get used to it relatively quickly. You know, like I remember watching the first night of the KBO and thinking, wow, this is so strange. And then you turn it on now and it's just like, oh, it's just another game. You know, like, you know, there's going to be nobody in the stands, but the game is still being played. And guys are going to be wearing, you know, coaches wearing masks and umpires wearing masks and that sort of thing. It is what it is. The bottom line is the games are still being played, and that's what's most important.
Man, I just got an image of players sitting in the crowd in the stands behind the dugout. They're going to be like the players in an NCAA tournament game who sit the bench. Those are the energy guys. They're the guys going nuts. That's what's going to happen. I mean, maybe the bullpen guys are going to be up there doing the same thing, but you're going to have some bench guys who are in charge of leading the cheers. That's kind of funny. Another facet to this has been the impact on the minor leagues, and the Brewers were among many, many teams that elected to release several minor league players, tens of minor league players who either because of financial hardship or because there's probably not going to be a minor league season, or it'll be just dramatically different from what we're used to. Talk of minor league contraction before all this began, and now you got to think that that's 100% on the table. You know, I try to look at it from both perspectives. On the one hand, it really sucks that there are a vast, you know, all these minor league guys who have put their bodies through this for years and are chasing a dream and aren't making any money, and now they're making no money and they got to go find a new line of work pretty much. And on the other hand, there's probably that many guys that would have been released at the end of this season anyway. If there is no minor league season this year, those guys ultimately would probably have been moving on for the most part anyway. But it's a very tough circumstance, and I'm curious what you think about that. And in addition to that, how not having a minor league system for a year is going to impact the major league team, because that's, I got to think, going to have a little bit of a ripple effect.
Yeah, you know, as far as the releases that the Brewers are in the process of doing, it sounds like it's mostly a mix of releases that they would have made at the end of spring training anyway, which happens every year. Those just weren't announced basically because of the pandemic and everything that was going on. And then the pre-draft releases where, you know, you're going to have an influx of new players coming in and the players that, you know, simply weren't good enough to make the cut, those guys are released to make room for those guys. So, you know, there may be a few other guys, a few random guys who are cut as well, maybe in a cost-cutting measure, but I'm not quite sure about that. But yeah, it's going to be really unfortunate that, you know, not only is there going to be contraction, there's going to be teams that are just going to go away, but, you know, just an entire minor league season going away as well. That's tough for any franchise to swallow, any player to swallow, because it's just a wasted year of development. And for small market teams like the Brewers, who really rely on their minor league system, you know, even though they haven't gotten a lot of great impact out of it the last few years, you know, they have a decent number of higher ceiling guys at lower levels, and it's hard to make that up. You know, it's going to be a wasted year. And I talked to Tom Flanagan a little bit about that a couple weeks ago. And, you know, they're still kind of finding their way and still trying to figure out what is the best way to navigate the season if there isn't a season. How do you keep these guys on track? How do you keep them progressing? You know, there may be opportunities later in the season to have, you know, some sort of expanded fall leagues or something like that to at least get some of the better prospects, some games under their belt. But by and large, it sounds like right now it's mostly been what the major league teams have been doing, you know, staffs keeping in contact with players on Zoom, on the phone, on FaceTime, you know, communicating workout programs, players telling those their staff and their team what they're doing, and just trying the best you can to stay as sharp as you can for whatever happens. But, again, just unprecedented times and really, really unfortunate and strange. And the repercussions on every level are going to be felt for years to come. And minor leagues are no different there.
So, like you're mentioning, you've sat in on some of these Zoom sessions. I mean, obviously not the, like, the ones that are sort of intended for public consumption are the ones that that you've noticed. But some players, broadcasters, executives like David Stearns and Mark Attanasio have participated in events like this. Anything jump out at you? I mean, I know you've written about them over the course of time at jsonline.com, but any unusual ways these players are staying engaged with the game of baseball, or anything unusual that they're up to as they try to sort of fill this time they didn't expect to have?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like pretty much, you know, what we've heard and what we've expected is just, you know, trying to keep in contact with Zoom and FaceTime and all that stuff. And, you know, Craig Counsell said earlier this week that they're as coaches and player development, they're keeping a little bit of a closer eye on the pitching side of things, you know, trying to keep guys on track for, you know, if and when baseball starts up again, then you're going to have a truncated spring training part two. Guys are going to have to get ready quick. And then you're running the risk when you're getting guys ready quick of injuries, which is why we're looking, you know, from all reports, it's going to be expanded rosters. You're going to have a taxi squad. So it's just going to be, that's another fascinating part, is all the moving pieces that will go into what comprises an active roster and you know, maybe it's going to be a 50-man roster instead of a 40-man roster, that sort of thing. So I think, like, you know, the players, like everybody else, they're just kind of waiting to see when the next shoe will drop and what's going to happen. And they're just trying to keep ready as best they can and try to keep a positive outlook as we move forward here.
We're probably nowhere near the point where we can analyze how these changes will impact the Brewers specifically, how they will, you know, how they will fare in an abbreviated season or with different rule changes that we didn't anticipate. But from what you know now, I guess let's give it a shot. The Brewers are a team that we saw last year is built around their bullpen. They were able to make that famous September run once rosters were expanded. They're surprisingly now going to have a chance with, I wouldn't say completely rosters expanded, but they're going to have pretty big rosters to work with. They're going to have a smaller sample of games to navigate. Do you see that as an advantage to the Milwaukee Brewers, or is it just pretty much a toss-up? I mean, I kind of see it like it's an advantage to everybody. It's going to be like a free-for-all, and you may not even know who the best teams are by the end of the year, just the teams that are ahead at what would be the halfway point. But how do you see it?
Yeah, I guess it just depends on what the rules are going to be as far as roster construction. There may well be a limit on, you know, how many bullpen arms you can have, how many pitchers you can have. Like you mentioned, obviously, Craig Counsell and the Brewers did a masterful job of orchestrating their bullpen the last couple of years. And, you know, if they could do that again, that I'm sure they certainly would like to. But I'm guessing you're going to have to factor in more position players as well. I think the DH is going to be fascinating, assuming that is universal for everybody. You know, then that kind of solves a problem with Ryan Braun. You know, you can get him in the lineup most days. I think
that totally favors the Brewers.
Omar Narvaez, I think, is another guy who could maybe fit in that role somewhat with his defense. You know, it did not look the greatest in the little bit of that we did see him in the spring. That's going to continue to be an issue behind the plate. So maybe you can get him some DH at bats as well. Again, I keep going back to this. It's just going to be fun and fascinating to see how all this stuff turns out and plays out. And we've seen Craig Counsell is a terrific in-game manager and a guy who moves the chess pieces as well as anybody in baseball as far as managers go. And I'm sure that, you know, whatever opportunities he has to do that again this season, he'll do, and it'll make it fun. And looking forward, you know, the Brewers did sign a lot of these guys to, you know, one-year deals with option years, guys like Sogard and Jerko and so forth, and Justin Smoke. So, you know, they'll have the opportunity to turn the page quickly from any or all of those guys if they don't pan out. And they could, you know, use this next offseason to bring a completely different look to the Brewers as well. So certainly would behoove those guys if they want to stick around to have good half seasons and perform. So lots at stake and lots of interesting stuff to watch here in the weeks and months to come, hopefully.
I will leave you here with a kind of a down note. Let's go back and revisit the idea that let's say there isn't baseball. Let's say they do not come to an agreement, and even if they end up delaying it quite a bit, or they just don't have a season at all. You know, I do understand that will hurt the goodwill of the game. There will be people who are deeply upset by that. But on the other hand, this is such a novel situation. You know, I think as sports trickle back, if the NBA can figure out a way to play again, that's going to get people's attention diverted. I wonder if ultimately they will be given a little bit of a pass on this because it is such a strange set of circumstances. Is that too optimistic on my part? Do you think the game will suffer dramatically? Fans really will turn away, or you'll just have the fans that come back next year and say, look, that year was going to be crazy anyway. Let's start fresh in 2021.
I don't know. It's hard to predict. I just think there's going to be not much sympathy in the country. Like I had said before, with all the misery financially, all the deaths, all the sickness, the toll that's taken on this country, again, to see billionaires and millionaires arguing over money, and that's not going to be well received. It's already not being well received if you check social media regularly. And if all of a sudden they just declare, hey, we're in an impasse, we can't make it work, we're gonna punt on this year and work toward next year. I don't know if it would be irreparable damage, but the game would take a huge hit. Both parties, both sides. I'm sure people would come back because, you know, obviously there's always going to be those diehard fans, but the casual fan, you know, it may wind up having an effect like the strike in the 90s, where it took a long time for several years for baseball to really bounce back. And it was the, you know, kind of the Sosa McGuire homer deal that got fans really pumped and back into it at that point. But, you know, I think there's too much at stake. I think it's too important, and I think both sides realize that, to get something done. And you know, hopefully they are able to, because I'm getting tired of watching reruns. I'm getting tired of watching the cornhole championships.
yeah, you and me both.
Fun for a while, you know, that kind of stuff on TV. It's time for some real sports to come back. And I will say, with the caveat, safely, you know, that's the most important thing here. And we didn't really talk about that even, you know, that's been number one on any time we've talked to any management or anything like that. It's key to be able to have a program and a plan that ensures the player's safety, their family's safety, the staff member's safety, you know, and to have contingencies in place for if and when, you know, players and players and staff members, I should say, test positive for COVID. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I keep saying it, but I'm hopeful that they can get it done because we all need a pleasant distraction at this point, I think.
We definitely do. You're right. But like you said, that is a lot to deal with. The financial aspect, the safety aspect, even the rules, like what we're going to operate with. There's so much that has to be solved, and they have to do it in such a short period of time. I mean, theoretically, 1 month from now, we'll be talking about, you know, we'll be a few days away from the first pitch in theory. And that, I don't know, that's going to be tough, but, you know, there's some pretty smart people in Major League Baseball. So hopefully, like you said, they can prevail. And I mean, if there's no season, they get nothing. They get no payment whatsoever.
Right.
So you'd like to think money is working a little bit.
Yeah, some money is better than no money, right? I mean, I think everybody operates under that belief. And you know, going from $40 million down to $7 million or whatever, you know, the hit that Bryce Harper would take. Yeah, it sucks, but you know, he's still making something, and it's not like he's, you know, scraping by. They're scraping to get by. So you just, I keep saying it. It's going to be interesting to see who blinks first, see if they can both come together and get something done. I'm hopeful they can.
He is Todd Rosiak. Find everything he has at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel homepage, jsonline.com, and of course in your daily Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Hopefully there'll be some good news, some baseball news to write about soon. Cannot wait to start talking about lame things like changeups and rotation issues and, you know, minor injuries and things like that.
I never thought I'd miss that, really. I mean, it's, you know, as we joke about, you know, Tom's tweet, you know, won't this season ever end? I was joking with him the other day. I said, I can't wait for your tweet that says, won't this season ever begin?
Yeah, well, knowing Tom, he will churn out that same tweet, won't it ever end, regardless of when the season starts, if the season starts. But yes, looking forward to the mundane again. That would be a nice change. Thank you, Todd, for joining us. We will chat with you again very soon.
My pleasure, JR. Take care.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.